So, Psalm 139, a psalm of praise and petition. This is what all the books say, a psalm of praise and petition. A psalm of praise because it looks at who God is. It looks at the nature of God, all-knowing, caring, always present. Creator, worthy of praise. Petition for the angry wee bit that comes at the end about enemies. But it's interesting that in the body of this psalm, we have words that overflow. Words of joy and comfort. Words that are very personal. The psalmist here uses I a lot. I and my. And as we read the words, or certainly as I read the words, I was trying to put myself into the shoes or sandals of that psalmist. If we compared it to the 23rd psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, it's right up there with words of comfort. They're words that are familiar to us. But as I kept reading over this psalm this week, there was one line that kept jumping out at me. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The angry bit I struggle with. Because that's not really what I do. But I struggle with this all the more. And I wonder if you might too. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So maybe if we read it in context like we should do with any scripture, maybe if we read it in context, it'll become a little bit clearer. So it continues, your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So let's think about that. Your works are wonderful. When we look at a butterfly, do we look at intricate design, colours, shapes, those tiny little details and think, my God is wonderful. That butterfly is beautifully, fearfully and wonderfully made. That's easy, right? So moving on then, a tiger. Not the same. Big and strong and powerful. And look at those eyes while it's running through the water. You can't deny that a tiger is fearfully and wonderfully made. A tropical paradise, or so it would seem. Can we see the work of God there? A skyline that's probably a little bit familiar to all of us after the O words that I probably shouldn't mention anymore. The skyline, the lights, the buildings, those images. Can we deny the work of God's hands there? Or let's make it simpler. Talking of light and darkness, when the sun rises in the morning, do we see God there? When the sun sets and we have the transition from light to darkness again, is the beauty of God there? That's not what the psalmist writes about. The psalmist writes, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Would you happily say that today? Did you look in the mirror before you came to church today and say to yourself, I'm going to praise God today in the church because I am fearfully and wonderfully made? I don't think I did. In fact, I tried not to look in the mirror at all, but that's another story. If you thought that other people would look at you this morning in church and listen to you singing, and they thought, my, she or he is singing, praising God because they think that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, would you sing a little quieter? We don't like to think that we as individuals are wonderfully made. When we look in a mirror, we see the faults. When someone says that we're looking particularly radiant on a day, the first comment back is normally, well, actually, I'm not feeling all that great, or I didn't really like my hair this morning. Did you not notice that there was a wee grey hair there? I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Leonardo da Vinci thought that the human form was so beautiful and so wonderful that he made it a source of study. And he made many studies on the human form. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. But do we feel like that? Or do we feel instead a bit more like this? I feel more like that. Do you think Homer looks in the mirror in the morning and says, I'm going to praise God today because I am so fearfully and wonderfully made that I'm going to have to do that? Does he say that before he stuffs his face with donuts? I'm just not convinced. But why do we find it so hard to look at ourselves and say, God made me. He made me out of love. And I am wonderfully made. Looking at the rest of the psalm, some of the words seem to me a wee bit claustrophobic, and I don't know if you find that maybe a little threatening as well. Where can I escape your spirit? What, is the spirit going to be looking around at me like Big Brother? I can't ever get away. You know, can I not just have a wee bit of time to myself? A wee bit of time when you're not looking at me? You hem me in. What, in a box? You know, I want to break out of that. Why would I want to be hemmed in anywhere? She says, slightly hemmed in this morning. It can feel claustrophobic. But if we read it differently, I can never escape from your spirit. You are always with me, always. Your arms are around me. You hem me in your embrace. You lay your guiding hand upon me. Isn't that so much better? You have searched me and you know me. We have no need to hide. There is nowhere to hide, but he knows everything anyway, so why go to the trouble? Why do we turn our faces away from God? You are familiar with all my ways. Isn't that lovely? It made me think of being in the kitchen with someone you know very well. If you've been in the kitchen with someone that you don't know very well, then what you tend to do is bump into each other, and as one person's opening one drawer, somebody's opening a cupboard, and you're just dance all over the place, waiting for a mishap to take place. When you're in a kitchen with someone you know well, it's like a well-orchestrated ballet. You move around each other, you're familiar with each other in such a way that it's almost like music. How about this? I cannot escape from the squeezy bear hug of your love, O Lord. Yet to find those particular words in the Psalms, but that's sometimes how I read them. Even though sometimes I want to hide or run away. or beat my fists on your chest and shout, it's not fair. You ever been held in a big bear hug when you've been beaten on someone's chest shouting that? Just that calmness. He still wants to hold us in the midst of everything that goes on in our lives. God is there. You have searched me. You know me completely. My weaknesses, my desperation, my hate, my regrets, my anger. My God, you know me. You know my passions, my emotions, my love, everything. I want to know you more. How comfortable are you with joining in the psalmist's voice? And I'm going to keep asking that question because I want to challenge you this morning, just as I am constantly being challenged by this word of scripture. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Maybe not today, maybe not sometime soon, but someday. My dream is for everyone here to be able to say, Lord, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So how many of you are sitting there saying, but I don't have a good singing voice? That's clearly not about me. That other person that's sitting along from me, they're a bit better. Maybe they would be able to say it. Excuses, confessions. If the Lord had known what I had done, then he wouldn't be saying that I was wonderfully made. Comparisons, denial. But here's the newsflash. You are beautiful. You are a wonderful, unique human being. You were created by a tender, loving, almighty God who created many other incredible things. And the best thing of all is that you are all one of his favourites. He loves you more deeply than you can imagine. He loves us so much that he stretched out his arms to welcome us into his embrace. You are beautiful. You are a wonderful, unique human being. The parable of the lost son, or the parable of the prodigal son, is one of those wonderful, wonderful stories that we tell time and time again. And each time we hear it, each time we tell it, we find something new in it. But every time I am struck, awestruck, by the love that that father has for his wayward child. Because when he sees him coming home after everything that he has done, the father doesn't wait for him. He doesn't say, I'm going to stand here and wait for you to come to me to ask forgiveness. No. What does the father do? He lifts up his tunic, which would have been completely against the culture, completely radical, and he ran. He ran to that boy. He ran with his arms stretched out. He couldn't wait to embrace his child. He couldn't wait still the same today. Our Father is so desperate to embrace us, to give us that big bear hug. We praise him because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And he's desperate to hug us. Are you ready to run into his embrace today? I'm going to leave you this morning with images that I saw this week that I found incredibly moving. And forgive me for my lack of details, because I think these pictures speak for themselves. But suffice to say that two brothers were brought back together after being separated for 3 years. People weren't sure if they would recognise each other, how they would react to each other. Even if you feel that God the Father wouldn't recognise you now, I believe that this would be his reaction. Utter elation. Desperate to hold you in his embrace and to keep you there. Amen.